You know, people ask me, we had a funeral yesterday. I officiated a funeral. And I spent a lot of time last week with the family, and then the visitation Friday night, and then the service yesterday, and a lot of people out there. And the question became is, do we have a funeral? You know, how many people do you have? You take a look at Costco. I bet you they'll be loaded up today. Is Costco going to put a thing at no more than 250 in the store at a time? You know, there's a lot of things that are people trying to do, but I do believe that Christ says there's opportunities here, and that's what I see. I see opportunities. I don't see fear. I don't see. I know I'm a soldier. I'm the guy that runs through the storm. And I think that's what Christ taught. I think that's what Paul taught. And my hope and desire this morning as we look to how to be that light in a dark world, that we're encouraged. Because storms are coming. They've always been there, and they're going to keep coming, right? But I also know that there's a lot of panic out there. Oh, no, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it's paralyzing us. We're so fearful of things. Let's be encouraged today, okay? So we're going to turn to Philippians 2, and we only got a couple verses today. But in light of what's happening, I think it's important for us to look to Scripture and get some encouragement. How can we be a bright light in the dark world? Why is that so important? Can I tell you what's happening today? I just got a thing from George Barna just this week. On average, Christians, and I'm talking about true born-again believing Christians in America who take and read the Bible and who believe it, we're losing about 50% a year, right? It's not going to get any easier. Right, so what you have out there, you got about from the year 2000 on to today, you got about 25%. And so what most churches are doing, they're panicking. And most churches have denied a lot of the truth because we become so consumer oriented that we got to find a way to appeal to people to get them in the door. So a lot of churches are maybe not speaking all the truth, but they're certainly pulling back some truths because they don't want to upset people, and they're trying to find ways to attract them in the door. So the churches have become really, truly consumer-minded. And so the question becomes is, what do we do to attract people? Because we have a very limited amount of people out there, and that's what they're after. But Christ is very clear. He said, here's truth. Here's Scripture. Here's what you need to do to sustain yourself and live for Him, and we don't have to be afraid. So when you take a look at Paul to the Philippians, he was trying to do the same thing. They were in a culture that was very anti-Christ. They were concerned with being Romans and being in an environment that wasn't good for them. And how do you live in a Christian life and not be influenced, right? Because while you're in that dark world trying to be a light, you're going to be influenced, and the influence is not what you think. And I can tell you over the last 4 or 5 months, the apostasy is upon us. And I have seen hundreds, I'm talking about hundreds of people who have denounced the faith and turned from Christ, who were raised in the church because they didn't understand the Scriptures. And they're fearful and they're worried. So the message this morning is to give us hope, give us strength, give us encouragement, so you don't get pulled away. And that's what's happening out there. And I can tell you churches where they have shot glasses for communion. I can tell you churches where they say there's no sin. I can tell you churches where they say some of this isn't sinful. I can tell you churches saying there's no hell. And so a lot of these people are turning to things. You know what they're doing? And they're walking away from the faith. And so the key is, how do we minimize sin and all of that to attract people? And that's not us. Amen? That wasn't Christ, and that wasn't Paul. And Paul said this here, if you do these things, you'll make it. And you can be a light in a dark world. So let's take a look at that. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. And if we go there, very few verses, but it's very, very powerful. This is probably one of the best passages in all of Scripture. So how do you do that? How do you be a bright light in a dark night? First of all, you have to remember who is in you. Look at Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to do the will and to do his for your good pleasure. So the first thing you have to do is remember who is in you. Therefore, let's take a look at therefore. What does he mean, therefore? If you go back to what we talked about last week, therefore, he's talking about what happened in Philippians 2, and let's read that on in Philippians 2, 8. He says, and being found in the appearance as a man, he says, therefore, you humble yourself. Therefore, become obedient to the point of death. Therefore, even death on the cross, the progression, therefore, being exalted in Christ, therefore, given a name, therefore, bowing at the name of Christ, therefore, having all those things in heaven, what he's saying is, therefore, remember, therefore, these promises. And in a dark world, you have to remember the promise of therefore you are like this. You are humbling yourself. Therefore, you are putting on the mind of Christ. Therefore, you are set that mindset on him. Therefore, there's promises coming to you. And he's saying, therefore, because of this here, there's hope. And they had forgotten that. He says, have this mind amongst yourselves. Therefore, what mind is that? I don't have selfish ambition here. It's not about me. It's not about winning an argument with somebody. It's about when you're discussing something with somebody, are you concerned about them and their glory and their walk with Christ? It's about when a husband and wife have a disagreement. When you have that disagreement, it's about getting your way, or is it therefore humbling yourself with the ambition of helping one another to be more Christ-like? Your coworkers, your people out there, they're worried. Therefore, when you have a conversation with them, therefore is your mindset set onto things of encouraging them and helping them to see the light in a dark world? You see, therefore, have this mind amongst yourself. Therefore, be this kind of a way. Therefore, be great humility, great promise to be an obedient. So therefore, remember, we don't have to be afraid. You know, that service yesterday, all I do is give the gospel out. That's it. And you always get people say, well, I don't know, you got to be careful what you say. No, I'll be honest in what I say. I'm just going to give the gospel out in a very loving, kind, caring way with truth. And when you have 250, 300 people that are sitting there listening to that, and then they hear it, and the hope is in Christ, and you talk through truth and just give truth and let the Holy Spirit do the conviction, just declare the truth and let God do the work. And I can always tell when I'm doing something like that, the people who are in agreement with me, and I go clearly with the gospel, just clearly, and I can always tell the ones who are convicted, like, and those are the ones I look at. I stand at the door afterwards. Most everybody thanked me. Even the non-believers, because I brought eternity into light. And I said to them, there's not one person sitting out here that doesn't believe in eternity. And they all look around a little bit. And I says, you know it. Let's be honest. Everybody's thinking of eternity. And I went on to explain that. And even the ones who I knew were going to be disheartened what I said, agreed. Paul is saying, therefore, remember your position. That's great encouragement to me. Secondly, if you want to be that kind of a light in the dark, you got to know your family. He says, beloved. He says, therefore, my beloved. Listen, you're not alone. We're not the only ones speaking truth. I've been doing a lot of research and looking online and listening to other pastors out there. And I will tell you, the smaller churches are the ones who are thriving because they're getting the truth and it's sustaining the people in the hard times. They're thriving out there. Because you know why? People want the truth. They want the truth. And so Paul is saying, beloved, my brothers and sisters, the ones we love each other and care for each other, and you can encourage each other. I had two people at the funeral had told me the person who was deceased, he had led her to Christ. This is what I told you about. She's 56. Her birthday was Thursday. She would have been 57. And here's what he said to me. He says, I need to work on my older brother now. Because it's my family. And he's a believer. And he says, I'm concerned for his soul. And his older brother is going through some health issues as well. And I said, well, I think after the service, you'll have some great talking points. And I can promise you that. And as I listened to the family and spent time last week up at the hospital with them and how they hovered around their little sister when they pulled the plug and made the decision to do that, and you could watch on the monitor her heartbeat and her oxygen level go down, and they just sit there and stroked her hair and just touched her, and every time they would do that, her heartbeat would pop up again. And you get about threes, is what I always tell people. You have about threes. Without oxygen, you have about 3 minutes to live. Without water, you have about 3 days. And without food, you have about 30. And after they made the decision to pull the plug, and you could see it, it's about 3.5 minutes, she passed. And her husband, family, sisters, I mean, they were around her bedside, and they just wept. Paul says, my beloved, as I look at you, my beloved, my job is to give you truth, to be an example, and not show fear and worry in what's out there. And that's what I would encourage you with, because you're not alone. After that service, I cannot tell you how many people that were believers that came up and hugged me. Forget the coronavirus. They just came up and hugged me and thanked me so much for giving the truth. Just thank me. Sometimes 2 and 3 times they would come up. And I'm telling you, people are starving for the truth. Why? Because you never know who's out there. And you set that standard, you be that example, and they all of a sudden will connect with you that we're like family. And Paul said, if you want to be a light in a dark world, don't forget your family. My beloved, well, what does he say also? He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, always obeyed at all times. So what he's saying here, you got to think about obeying God's word at all times. Turn over to Matthew 24:43. We got to talk about this. Matthew 24, and everybody needs to turn there. It's not on the thing, but turn over to Matthew 24:43. I'm going to talk to you about what's happening in our culture today. Matthew 24:43, Jesus said this, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. See, a lot of people think that he's talking about your physical house here. He's not. What he's saying here is that if you knew a thief was coming to break in your house, you would guard and protect it. If I knew that there was going to be a thief coming to my house at 2:00 in the morning, I'm going to stand there, be looking outside, and I'm going to have my .45 locked and loaded and ready to go. I do have that. And a few others. So if I knew a thief was coming, you think I'm going to stand there and just let it happen? No, I'm not. But in the New Testament, we are the temple. The body is the temple. We are the building. And what he's saying is, Bob, you're the temple. You're the building that the thief is going to try to come in to destroy. So one of Satan's tactics is to try to get you to not obey the word of God. And he's going to come at you and try to get you to turn your desires of interest around in your spiritual dimension. And that's what he says. You have always obeyed, and obedience is the key here. The obedience is what keeps you safe. And so if you know that your body is the temple of the Lord and the Holy Spirit is in you, this passage in Matthew, he's saying you got to be ready, because Satan's coming after you to try to break in and steal your faith. And if you're going to be a light in a dark world, you got to obey God's word at all times. You have to. I work with a lot of people over the years. I still do. I can tell you of a couple I know, they go to a real nice church, man, they're just a great family. Great family. Everybody loves them. Their church body loves them. They tell me their family loves them. Everybody loves them. And they set that example for the world to see. But yet they tell me, between the two of them, it's not working. And so I've been working with them and went through some reasoning, and I talk about some scriptures and bring it in and point them back to Christ and get it into them. And one of the things that was the hindrance, the struggle for them, was in the Bible where it says, a man shall leave and cleave his mother and father, become one. Her interpretation of that, and her being raised in her family, was that pertains to the man, not the wife. And when we got to the part where the wife is to fall under the leadership of the husband, she did not like that. As a matter of fact, that was a very rough conversation. And I said, but the word of God, this is what it means. And she says, I have a hard time with that. Even in the wedding, she said, my dad refused to give me away. He presented me because he says, you'll always be my daughter. And I says, let me tell you something, that's not scriptural. And once I had to sit there and explain it, she was very, very upset with that. But the word of God is the word of God. It's that simple. And I says, if you want your marriage to work, you're going to have to start obeying it. And when I explained what that meant, the covering of it and the help and the protection and the woman having that guardian and all that kind of stuff, she sits there and says, wow, I need to obey this. And I goes, yeah. How many years have you not? 50. So what we have out there is a culture, and especially a lot of churches, in fear. They're not giving truth because they don't want to upset people. And we're creating an opportunity for the thief to come in and steal them away. And let me tell you something. Your children have got to be guarded and protected against that. And Paul said, if you're going to be a light in a dark world, you have always obeyed. So now, even so much more, be guarded, be careful. And I cannot tell you, I cannot emphasize the importance of understanding the word of God, yourself, letting that sustain you and give you strength, because what you have out there is a lot of deception. And Satan has breaking into a lot of people. I can tell you this past week, of three different families I've talked to, whose kids were raised in a Christian home, walked the aisle, lived the thought, and they've all walked away. The apostasy is upon us. Be guarded. So he says, always obey. Next, the fourth thing is, don't give up. He says, work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. What does that mean, to work out your own salvation? Is that being saved? No. There again, you got to understand the writing of the word, because a lot of people interpret, I got to work out to get my salvation. That's not what he's meaning here. That salvation means literally your sanctification, your process of being saved. You got to keep at it. You got to keep working at it. In a simplistic way, what he's saying is, therefore, because of the promises you have, therefore, here's your promise, who you are in Christ, what's coming to you in heaven. You got to understand, therefore, because you are saved, because you've been born again, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, therefore, you do your work, be obedient, be faithful, be honorable, worship me, okay? You do your part, you get dressed, and God says, now, I will do my part. I'll provide what you need. So as we go through life as a Christian, as a believer, therefore, because of the promises I have, I am going to be obedient to what he tells me. I'm going to work it out. I'm going to live it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to cave. I'm not going to turn. I'm going to be encouraged. Therefore, I'm going to do it. And as I do that, God says, I've already bought your ticket. I got the car filled with gas. I got everything you need. Let's go. And what Paul is trying to help them to see is you don't give up. And that's why we need to help each other. We need to encourage each other. People ask me a lot. I even at the service yesterday, I had a lot of people ask me, you seem pretty confident in certainty about things. And I goes, yeah. And they asked me, one couple was telling me about the churches they're having a hard time finding, and they live in another state, and this is, I heard several, they're saying they're having a hard time finding church so that they don't go. And they say, how is it that you have these truths and you live it? Now, we had, till 10:30 last night in our home, we had people asking these questions. They said they don't like going to church, they can't find a church, they can't whatever, whatever, whatever. And here's what I tell them. I said, if I were out somewhere, my wife is coming out of the store in broad daylight, and I'm not with her, and three or four guys attacked her and beat her, and just beat her and kept trying to beat her to death, and there's four or five guys standing around her, and they did absolutely nothing to help her, what would I think of them? What would you think of them if it was your wife? What would you think of them if it was your children? And you got these three guys standing there and says, that's your problem, not mine, and they just let them beat your wife or your kids to death, what would you think? And I said, to me, the church is the bride of Christ. And if I let truth come in here, that's good. I can handle that. But if I let lies come in, fears, worries, deception, all those kind of things, I'm not going to stand before God and says, I just let your bride get beat to death. I'm not going to do it. So in your sphere of influence, when you work out your salvation, you just don't give up. You don't quit fighting. You don't stop. You're there. You work it out. You do the things you need to do. And God promises he'll do the things he needs to do. And that's what Paul is saying. Work out your own salvation. Don't give up. His promises are there. His promises are there. Next, he says, with fear and trembling, develop a fear and respect for God. Do it. That there is a motive, a desire, a part of you that says, I do not want to displease God here. Is it more important for me to win an argument or displease God? Is it more important for me to be faithful or go with the crowd? So what we have here, he says, above all things, with fear and trembling, that's that desire that you do God's will in your life. Nothing more. It's our gain. Christ obeyed his Father to the point of death. Did he do it for us? Yes. I've heard that over the years. He would have died for you. He did. But can I tell you what drove Christ more than anything? I'm not going to disappoint my Father. I'm not going to do that. And he went to the cross. I'm not going to disappoint my Father. You're going to gain from it. You're going to gain. But what is more important to him? I'm not disappointing my Father. Christ had great fear. With great trembling, he went to the cross. And if you want to live as a light in a dark world, you're going to have to develop this great fear and respect for God. And I just don't see that much anymore. The funeral home yesterday, nice funeral home, solid wood chairs, I mean, just gorgeous. I mean, don't they keep these things just gorgeous? And I'm standing by the door attending to people and helping them, and I saw a father bring his probably 4 or 5-year-old son in, and the 4 or 5-year-old son has this ratchet with the socket on it. Now, obviously, the dad must be a mechanic or something. And this was not a toy ratchet. And here's this kid walking around with this thing, and his dad is all excited, and he's all excited. And the kid's got this ratchet, and I'm thinking like, yeah. The kid walks over to one of these oak benches, and he takes the ratchet and starts pounding on it, and it's putting dents in it. And the dad stands there, son, you know, come on, don't be doing that. And the kid just keeps pounding on it. The funeral director guy just happened to be a foot away, and he went over and said, stop, don't do that. And the dad looks at, picks his son and says, see, I told you. There's no fear. No respect. Parents, listen. That's how kids learn how to have respect and obedience for God, is because the role of the parent is to try to train them up, to teach them responsibility. So you develop that healthy fear. What does he say elsewhere? You need to walk according to the Holy Spirit. For it is God who works in you. I'm going to say this to you. The Holy Spirit brings a mindset. And here's what the Holy Spirit does. It brings a mindset, and here's how you can tell whether you're saved or not. If there is a desire and a determination to obey the Word of God. He says, walk according to the Spirit, for it is God who works in you. God is, if he is in you, you're going to have a desire. It may not be perfect all the time, but you'll have a desire to want to obey. If there is no desire to want to obey, don't say that God is in you. Because the Holy Spirit will say, I cannot disobey my Father. The Holy Spirit will not let you sit there in without a conscience and saying this is right. The Holy Spirit is not going to say this lifestyle is okay. It's not. The Holy Spirit inside of you, if you're going to walk according to the Spirit, for God who's working in you, is going to say there's a desire that I want to be like him, even though I'm not. But there's also a determination to say, then I'm going to make a confession that this sin is in me and I need help. And you and I are going to be faced with all kinds of difficulties, but we have to walk according to the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? Your soul is at stake. The soul of people are at stake, and if I hear it once, I hear it 1,000 times. You're too serious with people. You're too intense. No, I give them truth. You know why? Because there's a conviction, and without a conviction of the Holy Spirit, there is no salvation. And this thing of trying to make it all emotional and happy and all that kind of stuff all the time, and I see people falling away and being destroyed and told and just ripped apart, is not good. And they're not walking according to the Spirit, and they think they are. They think they can sleep around and it's okay. I can still be a Christian. They think to be an alternate lifestyle, that's okay. I can be a Christian. They think they can go out and get drunk and party and do all these things. I can be a Christian. I don't need to go to church and worship God. I can be a Christian. I don't need to read the Word. I don't need this. I don't need that. I hear it all the time. There's no hell. Come on. I can be a Christian and believe that. I can be a Christian and believe that Christ is just one way. If you think all of those things are true and you accept those things, there's no conviction, then the Holy Spirit is not in you. It's not. Walk according to the Holy Spirit, for it is God who works in you. Listen, I'm saved. I know what the Bible says is right and wrong. When I talk to people, it's the Holy Spirit that works through me to help them see that they need the light. It's not me. If I had my own way, I would be sympathetic with them. If I had my own way, I would say, you know, I understand. It's love, just love one another. If I had my own way, I'd say, you know what, that child isn't probably going to be born healthy, abort it. If I had my own way, I could understand these things. I would simply say, okay, but I don't. You see, the Holy Spirit's inside of me saying, Bob, there should be a desire and a determination to walk according to the way I would walk. It's a dark world. But if the Holy Spirit is in you, you'll have a conviction. You will have a conviction. I tell you, the family I know, raised in the church, faithful in the church, one of their five children, they are all out on their own. A couple of them have children of their own. One of their grown adult children has decided that they want to be in an alternative lifestyle. I'm not judging them. To me, it's a heaven or hell issue. It's either you're saved or you're not. And this one child, who's an adult, tells the parents, if you don't accept my lifestyle, that's okay. One of the siblings who has children, though, has sided with the sibling, saying, but mom and dad, if you don't accept the lifestyle, then you don't get to see your grandkids no more. This is what I deal with on a regular basis. And these people all say they're walking according to the Spirit. Listen, if I sit there and say, yeah, I understand it's okay, I have hurt them. But if I sit there and tell them, no, this is what Christ says, and then I'm always throwing that, well, Christ never really talks about that in the New Testament. I say, yeah, he does. He talks about it in the Old Testament. They said, really, where's that at? And I said, go back to Deuteronomy. And I said, just think of it this way. Who wrote the Old Testament? Christ did. Who wrote the New Testament? Christ did. Would Christ, who was in the beginning, let us make man in our image? Would he write something in the Old Testament and then turn around and write something different than new? He wouldn't do that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was in him. Lastly, desire to place God in all you do. Look at what he says here, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You place God in all you do, and his peace will give you the power to do it. Here's what we've tried to do today in the church, collectively in America. We've tried to make the gospel a social gospel. We've tried to make it everybody's okay, and it all fits in because we don't want to offend anybody or upset anybody. So to do the will of God for his good pleasure instead of doing the will of God for ours. And I can tell you, it may look dark out there. You may have situations come your way that's hard. But I can tell you, as you place God in the center of that and let him do his work for his pleasure, for not yours, you'll be amazed at what can happen. Let me give you an analogy of that. I think I mentioned this. My nephew and his wife had a little baby just a couple weeks ago. Adeline's her name. And they found out during the pregnancy that she was going to have some difficulties, and oh my goodness, she has difficulties. And it was hard to hear this. I mean, I'm talking severe mental, physical issues. And it's been very, very hard. And they're a Christian family. My sister and brother-in-law, they're a Christian family. And they live in Texas. And so in the morning when I pray, I always pray, Lord, now these are the prayers I need. Now speak to me. And God always speaks to me. And one of the mornings he says, Bob, how do you define beauty? And I says, well, I can look at it this way. And God says, but how do you think I define beauty? I says, well, give me an example. And he says, let's take Adeline. She's born now. She's just bad. He said, you think she's beautiful? Because I'm telling you, she is. I'm telling you, that baby's a miracle. And he said, watch what I do with her. And he said, see, he says, beauty is in what I do, not in what you see. And you humans function on what you see, not what I do. And so I had that prayer, and I said, you know, Lord, thank you for that. And I prayed for Adeline. I prayed for my sister and brother-in-law. And I'm here at the church, and about 10 o'clock, and I was anticipating my sister was going to call because I knew that that was going to take place. And sure enough, she called me, crying, totally needing encouragement. And she said, God had told me 5 times to call you, and I kept saying, no, he's busy, no, he doesn't have time, no, he doesn't. And I sit with her on the phone, and I talked about what God had shared with me. And I says, watch who sinned, the blind man, his parents, no, but this life was designed for my glory, for my purpose, for my will, not for yours. Great encouragement to her to see God move through all these states to speak to her. Last night, I asked if you could give me an update on Adeline. They did, and there's been some great strides made, but there's a lot of things yet to come. But she says, you know what? Since our conversation to now, she says, I have shared that story about God speaking to you and me through her with, what, 15, 20 people already, to the point where these people are brought to tears. And I said to her, I said, see, God is already bringing glory to himself through her. The miracles are already happening. We forget. I can't place God in this. I'm afraid. I can't place God in this because something may not happen. I can't place God in this because we don't understand. And what Paul was trying to help them to see, you live in a dark world, but that's the world that needs light. That's the world that needs light. So this morning, the gospel is not a social gospel. Its truth is meant to help people, not to hurt people. It's not to criticize and condemn lifestyles. You know what it is? It's about sharing truth so they can come to Christ and have that peace we talk about. It's about realizing that both to will and to work for his good pleasure, to know that you're here for him, not for you. And I had to remind them that Adeline is God's on loan to you. What are the takeaways? Remember God's promises. Darkness is coming. You're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to run from the storm or run to it? Don't give up. Protect the bride. Be a light. Be a light. There's promises. Therefore, I'll exalt you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Get dressed, work, do your part. I'll do mine, and the world gets the light. This morning, where are you at? Are you a light? I would pray you are. And I would pray that you would leave here today encouraged, going towards the storm, giving people hope and comfort in what's upon us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truths. The world is, it's only growing. You said it's going to happen. All these things are going to come to be. They're going to increase. More disease, more famine, more this, more that. The world's not falling to pieces. You're putting the pieces together. And I would just pray for us as a church body, we continue on with what you've given us to do. Lord, I pray that as we leave here today, though, that you would encourage us and strengthen us as we interface the fear that's upon us. We would do it wisely, not putting ourselves at risk, Lord, but also to know that the world needs a light, and they need to see that. And I pray that you would give us opportunities this week to share it. So encourage us, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your son. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit who has empowered us to do that. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.